Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1991. The topic is training, and the title is, which is better for fat loss? Steady state cardio, interval cardio, or weight training? Now, given my history, and if you watch kind of what I post on social media, and if you don't go to our social media, please do. Please go and follow and see what other information we have. If you like the podcast at all, you'll like some of the information we post on social media. But I post a lot about weight training, and that's what I prefer to do. A lot of my clients do weight training. But I'm also a running coach, and I help people with basically just nutrition at all, like people who've never stepped foot in the gym. I do help people who don't go to a gym. They just do running and nutrition. Now, we still do strength-based training, but often it can be done with body weight and or some small weights at home, but maybe they don't ever go to a gym. So I post a lot that looks like weight training would be my answer, but I work with a lot of clients, and for a variety of clients, all three of these are actually a totally fine answer. And I wanted to explain why that is, and to encourage people to do something. And then if you are doing something, how do you know if you're doing the right something? So I just want to kind of provide that information. Now, if we're looking at fat loss, if that is our goal, we know that we have to have a greater caloric usage than we have a caloric intake, meaning there has to be a calorie deficit for fat loss. But there's actually an appropriate calorie deficit. If we're in too large of a deficit, it actually makes fat loss much harder, and it can eventually can stop fat loss. I work with people with eating disorders to where they're way under the calories that they should be at, and they've lost a lot of fat, but then it kind of stalls out and they can't find any more progress in fat loss. They start losing muscle tissue, and then everything kind of looks and goes badly because they tend to be very thin and soft, and they don't have any definition or any muscularity that they thought they would have. They just feel like a soft, pudgy version of themselves, even though they're very tiny. So it's like a skinny fat look. Now, I don't want to get too much into that. However, now that I'm mentioning it, if you go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com, on that webpage, there is a free nutrition education page. So click on that. And if you scroll to the bottom, there's a document, a PDF you can view and print. And it is titled Recovering from an Eating Disorder, Under Eating. So if you're specifically coming from under eating and you're wondering, like, there's no way I can eat less calories in order for me to lose fat. I'm already at like 1,000 calories or 1,100 calories, or, you know, maybe possibly even less than that, unfortunately. If you're in that range, like you're eating 1,100 or less, or even 1,200 or less, and you don't seem to be losing any fat, you're under eating, and that's actually probably the largest reason why you're not losing more body fat. You can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com, go to free nutrition education, scroll down a bit, and it's all in alphabetical order. You're going to see recovering from an eating disorder, under eating. You can view and print that PDF and learn a lot about how to structure your diet for that purpose. Now, back to the podcast. How do we know what is the right caloric deficit to be in for long-term success in fat loss? We can look at our total daily expenditure, the amount of calories we burn in a day. And there are components that would contribute to our caloric usage per day. There are like scientific terms, so I'll use those so that you hear them, but I'll also explain them. BMR, which is your basal metabolic rate, that's kind of like another term for that is resting metabolic rate. That would be the amount of calories you burn just by being alive. If you're lying in your bed with your eyes closed, but you're alive, that's your basal metabolic rate. That's your resting metabolic rate. That's how many calories you burn simply being alive. That actually contributes to about 60 to 70% of your total daily calorie needs. So if we believe, you know, oh, I've been struggling to lose weight and I'm overeating, maybe I've been eating 2,000 or 2,500 calories, I want to lose weight, I'm going to drop all the way down to 1,500 or all the way down to 1,200, you got to be careful because 70, up to 70% of our calories is what's needed for basal metabolic rate. Now, I'll explain this a little bit more in a second, but you don't want to go under your BMR. You actually don't even need to, and it's actually worse to go under your BMR. So when we consider a caloric deficit, I would never have a client. I don't like saying the word never because you never know. I guess I just said it again. But I very rarely, and I can't even think of a circumstance which, but people shouldn't diet under their BMR. If you're under your BMR, it should be for a very, very short period of time, and you're going to experience a rebound and a stalling out effect of fat loss. So, for example, if somebody's getting ready for an aesthetic competition, maybe we have to drop down under BMR final couple of weeks, cut some body fat off, but we know that we're going to get a rebound on that, and we know that we have to kind of rebuild the metabolism after that. So there might be a scenario in which we have to drop under BMR for a very short moment. Maybe I'm helping somebody make weight for a competition or event, and we have to eat a couple days, 1 or 2 days, way under their BMR just to get their weight down. Yeah, I'm sure we've done that before. But as a sustainable, multi-week, long-term approach, you should not diet under your BMR. So that's 70% of your calorie needs. To make the math easy for me, let's say that you're eating on average 2,000 calories. That means you wouldn't want to go under 1,400 calories. And you don't need to. That's the positive thing. You don't need to. But our BMR, our basal metabolic rate, contributes to about 60 to 70% of our total calorie usage. Then there is a term called NEAT, N-E-A-T, that stands for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So that's how many, like the amount of calories you burn by being up and out and active. So you got up out of bed and now you're moving around throughout your day, but it's basic movements. The minimum movement you need to make breakfast, the minimum movement you need to get to work, the minimum movement for blah, 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 blah. Whatever your normal daily movements are, that's contributable between 10 to 20%. And you'll see a little bit of a larger range. If somebody has a very active day, that can contribute to a significantly larger amount of calories. But the percentage is still going to be around that 10 to 20%. Then we have what's called thermic effect of food. That's how many calories you burn breaking down the food that you eat to try to get calories. So you have to actually spend calories to get calories when it comes to food. We have to put in energy to break food down, and then hopefully we get even more energy out of that food so we can stay alive, which we do. So thermic effect of food is contributable somewhere like 5 to 10% of our daily caloric usage. And then there's a term EEE, which is just exercise energy expenditure. And that is as much as you want. if you go exercise today and you burn 300 calories, that was your EEE. If you did nothing today and you burn 0 calories, that was your EEE. So when we think of our total daily use of calories, the BMR you're going to have every day because you're alive every day, hopefully. You're going to have the NEAT, the non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and you're going to have some thermic effect of food, even if you were to drink highly processed like calorie drinks all day, which would be the least amount of energy your body would need to put into breaking that food down to get calories, it's still going to expend some energy doing that. Whereas if you eat whole food, complex foods all day, every day, just think of eating like steak and nuts all day. Your body's going to put a lot of work into that and have a lot of thermic effect of food. So our BMR we need every day, our NEAT, our non-exercise activity thermogenesis every day, our thermic effect of food every day. And then we choose how many more calories we want to burn based on any non-essential activity that we add to our day. So if you diet below your BMR, you'll lose fat along with some muscle, but your body will start to adapt to the lower caloric intake by lessening its caloric usage. So this means that you'll burn fat right away. Your body will have to expend fat for energy. And then it's going to say, holy crap, they're bringing in such a small amount of food that I need to figure out how to use less calories to stay alive. So I have to give up the body fat now to provide calories. But I'm going to start to allocate less calories to growing my hair, my skin, my nails. I'm going to do a lot less things in non-organ essential, like non-essential activities of the body. So the body goes from maybe burning 1,600 calories a day just in BMR to now 1,500, now 1,400, now 1,300. It'll start to bring the BMR down. What happens then is if your calories are stayed the same, but the BMR is going lower and lower, you're in less and less and less of a deficit until the BMR gets under the intake. And then the body calms down a bit. But by then, you're now not losing body fat anymore because you're not getting as much of a deficit. And you're going to have fat loss and weight maintenance issues. Because if you try to go back to what you were eating, your BMR that was at 1600 before or whatever it was, 1800, and that allowed you to eat, say, 2400 calories a day. And you're like, that's where I used to be. But now I went on this big diet and, man, if I go back up to 2000 calories, I gain weight. Yes, that's true. That's going to happen. Because your BMR has reduced. Therefore, the amount of calories you need just at rest have reduced. Therefore, the amount of calories you can eat without gaining weight has reduced. So if you diet under the BMR, your body will adjust to that. It makes fat loss stall out, and it makes weight maintenance very difficult in the long term. You have to actually rebuild your metabolism, which we just actually talked about in a podcast, I think two podcasts ago, podcast 1989, Metabolic Rebuilding, so you can listen about that process. But if you diet under your BMR, you're going to have an initial success. That's going to blind you to the fact that it's a not good idea. And then all of a sudden you're going to run into a lot of problems. And then you have to fix all those problems. So it's recommended to actually stay above your BMR when you're in a deficit. So you want to consume at least 70% of your maintenance calories. If you stay above your BMR, you will burn body fat, not muscle. And the body will have less and less of an adjustment reaction. It won't adjust the BMR to bring it back down anymore. It will have just other type of adjustments, which aren't long-term impactful. You might have a like degree of craving, so then you just play with your meal timing, play with your meal digestion rates, make sure your meals are digesting the right times, they're not digesting too quickly, and then all of a sudden the cravings can kind of go away. So you can manage other things like that. So weight loss is a little slower when you diet above your BMR, but it's purely fat loss, not fat and muscle. And it's sustainable for long term, so you can actually diet for a longer time before you plateau. And you get to keep the weight you like burned off. It doesn't bounce back. You don't have a rebound period. And then you can maintain your new weight a lot easier because your BMR stayed higher. So it's definitely recommended to diet above your BMR. It's just a much, much, much healthier long-term approach. Now, our goal is to eat enough to lose fat, meaning we want to be above our BMR, but we still have to be in a caloric deficit, meaning we have to eat above our BMR but below our daily maintenance. What this means is you're roughly going to find some window of between 70 to 90% of your caloric, your maintenance calories. If you're above 90%, it's not the end of the world. You're just not going to burn very much body fat and it's going to take forever. So you want to be between 70 to 90% of your maintenance calories. The more activity that you do, like chosen activity, your exercise energy expenditure, the more calories you can actually eat and stay within that 70 to 90% window. So for example, let's say that you're dieting on 1400 to 1700 calories, but you're really freaking hungry all day, you have low energy, you have no workout energy, and you're getting cravings. That might be the correct percentage in the correct calorie window. But man, is that a miserable place to be. So you can say to yourself is, let me exercise a little bit. Let me burn maybe 300 calories in exercise so I can eat 300 calories more. So now all of a sudden I can eat between 1,700 and 2,000 calories and I don't feel so starving. I have a little bit better energy throughout the day. I have less cravings. I'm just a much better experience. So you can exercise 300 calories away so you can eat an extra 300 calories and reduce some of those secondary dietary negative feelings. Now, if that's how we want to approach this in order for us to be able to eat more and feel better, we do have to burn off those 300 calories then to stay in the appropriate percentage of deficit. How you burn those 300 calories? Let's look at it. If you weighed 200 pounds, and sorry to anybody that doesn't weigh exactly 200 pounds, this is the only example I have, but let's listen to the concept. This would be the same concept would be true for everybody. If you weigh 200 pounds, and this would be a very loose calculation. So when I used to teach at the university, I taught exercise physiology labs. And we would do a whole bunch of calorie expenditure tests and all these VO2 max tests and whatnot. I've actually calculated BMR for people and done BMR testing and like BOD POD and some other odds and ends. So I just pulled from one of the equations that is a general like calorie equation. So not everybody who weighs 200 pounds has the exact same 200 pounds. One person might be 150 pounds of muscle and 50 pounds of fat. Another person might be 100 pounds of muscle and 100 pounds of fat. somebody might be a trained athlete and somebody might not. So the amount of calories a person burns at 200 pounds is different per person. But let's use this as an example because the concepts and the ratios are true. With all that said, at 200 pounds, if you want to burn 300 calories, you can go for a brisk walk for an hour and a half. You can go for a 30-minute jog. So a run/jog that you think you can sustain the exact same pace for the full 30 minutes. So not where you start sprinting at first and you're walking at the end. Like literally you're jogging kind of the same steady state pace for 30 minutes. You can do a step mill for 30 minutes. You can do weight training. The way in which I typically write programs for my clients, you could do that for 30 minutes, or you could do high intensity interval cardio for about 20 to 25 minutes. It's a little bit better caloric usage. And high intensity interval training for cardio would be, I'm going to sprint for 2 minutes, walk for 2 minutes, sprint for a minute, walk for a minute, sprint for 2 minutes, walk for 2 minutes, sprint for a minute, walk for a minute. And you just kind of go back and forth. Now the minutes and 2 minutes and all, there's a ton of variety in how they set that up. There's different ratios of that. But that's the idea is you have a high intensity effort followed by a lower intensity effort that's still moving but somewhat recovers from the high intensity one. Then you go back to the high intensity one. So just kind of miserable. Thinking of running, walking, running, walking, running, walking. So those are the time frames. A 200-pound person trying to burn 300 calories, you have an hour and a half of walking, 30 minutes of either a moderate run, step mill, or weight training, or about 25 minutes of interval cardio. All of those activities will burn about 300 calories. I was a little gracious with some of the calories because I wanted to have the minutes make sense. So rather than like 33 minutes versus 27 minutes versus blah, 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 hour and a half, 30, 30, 30, and about 25. Pretty easy to understand. The calories then, the way in which we choose to do the activity in order to get the calories burned off would depend on how much you have time for, your schedule, which do you like to do, which is your preference, and which one offers other benefits than purely just burning calories if you do want those other benefits. So for example, let's look at it. Steady state cardio. This would be like the walking. The pros of steady state cardio, it's the easiest, absolute easiest to get into out of the three, is just walk. You know, much easier to start that than sprinting and walking versus weight training, right? So just walk, you can start walking, much easier than a person who tries to start jogging, much easier than a person who tries to start lifting weights if they've never lifted weights before or they've never jogged before. Pretty much everybody has walked before. So walking would be the easier one to start with. Now, I worked at UPMC Rehab Center when I was in school, and I worked with people after brain surgery, and we had them walk in a pool. They practiced to walk in a pool so that way their body weight was less. And so I do understand that for walking for some people is definitely a challenge. So I don't mean to kind of discredit that challenge. I'm more so saying it's the easiest compared to interval cardio and weight training. So out of those three, it's the easiest to do. It's perceived as the less stressful, meaning if you're tired, you're stressed, you're worn out, you're exhausted for the day, it's much easier to go for a walk. It's easier to talk yourself into going for a walk than it would be to talk yourself into doing a sprint intervals or weight training. Steady state cardio, such as walking, it can offer a mental release that the other options may not. For some people, walking is a nice just me time. Get out into nature. Just take a chance to breathe. Get away from your cell phone. Get away from your computer. Get away from people. So it can be a little more mentally releasing. Now, I know people such as myself that weight training is a mental release. Walking, I just feel hot and miserable. But lifting weights, freaking love it. That's my mental release. You also don't need equipment if you go for a walk, assuming that there's good weather. And it's not as impacted by a diet. Meaning, if you don't time your food correctly, you're not going to crash and burn energy-wise from a walk as much as you would from interval cardio or weight training. The cons to steady-state cardio are it's the most time-consuming. You have to do it damn near three times as long as you would do interval cardio or weight training to get the same amount of calories burned. And it has the lowest ceiling of benefit, meaning you're going to get a little bit of benefit and then kind of not anymore. You're only going to get the benefit that it feels uncomfortable. So the degree to which it feels challenging is the degree of benefit that you're going to get. Walking very quickly becomes not challenging for most people. Therefore, it's not as useful anymore. Once you can do the distance that you walk and you're kind of just chit-chatting with a friend and not really exerted in yourself, you're not super soaked in sweat, you're not breathing hard, you're not trying to chug down, you know, a bottle or two of water while you're doing it, it's getting less and less benefit. So it has the lowest ceiling of benefit. So there's some pros and cons. Interval cardio, pros, much higher ceiling. You have a greater capacity to be miserable doing interval cardio than walking, so you're going to get much better cardiovascular effect. Benefit. And depending on the type of interval cardio you do, you can definitely get some relative strength increase, meaning how strong you are compared to your body weight. You can get some degree of relative strength increase, but not much. It's also the second easiest. So once you're done walking, you can kind of get into a little bit of a jog. Pretty easy to start that. It's stressful, but it's not as intimidating as weight training can be. So therefore, it might be a better option for some people than weight training. And again, no equipment is needed, assuming that you have access to good weather. So you might need a treadmill if you live in a place that's crappy weather. But for most people, you know, most time of the year, they can find some way to walk. The cons is it can be perceived as more stressful than walking. So if you're not feeling motivated that day, it's harder to get into an interval workout than it would be just to get into a walk. And it can be impacted by diet, meaning if you don't time your foods correctly and then you start doing sprint intervals, you can crash out and have low blood sugar and feel like crap pretty quickly. Weight training, the pros, it has absolutely the highest ceiling. It'll have the highest impact of benefit. You're going to get calories burned for fat loss. You're going to get cardiovascular improvement. You can build and shape muscles. You can build strength. You can increase mobility, connective tissue, strength, and integrity. So there's just an enormous amount of benefits that weight training has for how it can make changes to your body. The cons, it is perceived as the most stressful and the most intimidating. It requires the most equipment. It requires some type of exercise knowledge or tutorial videos or some type of education on what the hell you're supposed to be doing. You can go to a gym and go to machines that only move in one direction. And as long as you're upright on the machine, not sitting upside down, you're probably moving it fine. So it can be challenging, though, because you don't know which machines to do and what order to do them in. So there's definitely challenges there. And it's absolutely impacted by diet. If you do not eat correctly and you start to lift weights, you will feel like crap pretty quick. So you have to know how to time your diet and make sure you ate enough before you started working out or ate close enough to your workout so you don't have just no energy and you bonk out and just kind of crash and burn. So those are some pros and cons of steady state cardio, interval cardio, and weight training. With all of that in mind, let's recap. We can lose fat through diet alone. We just have to eat less than what we use. But with exercise It can help us eat more so we don't feel as miserable during the process. We just have to burn off the calories of the more that we eat. So if I want to eat 300 calories more, I have to burn off 300 calories in exercise. Which method of exercise we use depends on our schedule, our preferences, and our other goals that we have desired. If you have the available time and you want low stress and easy options, then walking is great. But walking does require about 3 times as much effort, time-wise, as interval cardio and weight training does. So what I can do in an hour and a half of walking, I can do in 30 minutes of interval cardio and weight training. Now, if you don't have as much time, so you are a little more time conscious, but you still want relatively low stress, relatively easy, then interval cardio works. Or maybe you have time for either walking or interval cardio, but you really want the cardiovascular stressful benefits, like you really need to improve your blood markers for cardiovascular health, then interval cardio will help that faster. If you're short on time, and or you want to build and shape muscle, or get stronger, or improve mobility, then weight training is going to be the option. Walking and interval cardio will not help you build and shape muscle. Walking and interval cardio, other than just weighing less, will not help mobility, because you're still going to be weak in the positions that you struggle to get into. Weight training is the only way to help that. So it depends on what you want. Do I want the fat loss, but I also want to see nice muscle bumps and muscle shapes? Then I got to do some weight training. If I want the fat loss, but I also want to be strong, I need to weight train. If I want fat loss, but I want improved posture, maybe I want to get rid of my rounded forward shoulders. Maybe I have like tucked hips and it looks like I have no butt. Well, you got to weight train. So if you want any change other than simply fat loss and cardiovascular benefit, you have to weight train. And then weight train also gets you the fat loss and the cardiovascular benefit, but it gets you the other things that most people want. So steady state cardio, interval cardio, or weight training. Which is better for fat loss? They all can work. They all can work. It just depends on your schedule, your preferences, and then if you have goals other than fat loss. Okay, so that's my typical podcast where I give you a non-committal answer. But I like to present it this way because I don't want people to feel like they're doing something in fear or doing something wrong or being lazy if they're choosing to diet correctly and go for walks when they can. If that's what you want to do and that makes you happy and you're getting results you want, hell freaking yes, do that. I hope you love it. I hope you enjoy the nature part of it. I hope you, you know, enjoy the mental release of the walks. I love going walks with my wife, Meredith. Like, we get to walk and kind of talk about her day. She tells me about all the crazy, stressful things that happen. And it's just nice. It's nice time together. Like, in regards to, like, the 5 love languages, quality time is one of my love languages. So it's good quality time together. We just get to be together. And if we were doing sprint intervals, there's no way in hell I would hear anything she was saying because I would be panting so hard and trying not to die. So walking is a much better option than interval cardio if I want to have quality time out of it. But we don't walk for like fat loss effect. We don't walk to burn calories. We walk to just be active and get her away from a desk and enjoy time together uninterrupted. So it kind of depends. If I wanted more fat loss and she wanted more fat loss, we wouldn't probably rely on walking because we would need to do it too much and too often to get the effect. We would much rather weight train because you can get weight training done much faster and only like maybe 20 minutes, and that's better than an hour of walking. So it's kind of a give and take of what you want in regards to your benefits. If you want to just crush the most effort, get the greatest fat loss possible, I am in favor of weight training. If weight training scares the bejesus out of you and you don't want to do it, then interval cardio or walking is great. You could also hint, hint, hire a coach who can help teach you how to weight train and not make it so intimidating. But I do understand, and like I said, I do have clients that never go to a gym. I just want you to be healthy and happy. I want you to have the body you want and be able to live in it for a really long time. So pick what you can do and then just do the hell out of it, okay? If you need anything, shoot me a message on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. Just shoot me any questions you have. Awesome. Well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people that know about the podcast, the more people that can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.